Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Cross Culture Podcast, where we have conversations to help Christian leaders create a cross culture in their church. Wherever you're listening from, we hope that this conversation helps you take the next step of embracing God's beautiful, diverse vision for your church. Let's dive in. Hey, welcome back to the Cross Culture Podcast. Man, today we have an incredible conversation that I'm really excited to share with you. We have my dear friend, Courtney, here hanging out with us today. Courtney, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good to hear you. I'm Pastor Philip, Pastor Radiant Church, and I usually have Will Plunk with me today, but we gave him the week off so we could have a conversation with Courtney. Courtney, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
I am a Charleston native.
Amen.
I am the eldest daughter of three siblings. Mm-hmm. I have two kids, two boys, and I am the worship leader at Radiant Church.
Hey, everybody clap in the background. Yeah, Courtney is, among many other things that you've heard, she's also the worship leader here at the church. Now, before you get all excited, we're not talking about worship today. We will get there when it comes to how to build a cross-culture church. We're going to talk about worship and best practices. But today I pulled in Courtney because Courtney has been with us it's pretty much since the beginning, since we started 5 years ago. And so Courtney's going to tell her story. But Courtney, did you come from a diverse, an intentionally diverse church before Radiant?
No.
No, I did not. Amen. And so I thought it would be really helpful for our listeners, Courtney, if we would just have a conversation, not as a staff member, not as a worship leader, but as just a member of a church, and how that transition from mostly black church, gospel, kind of more traditional service to an intentionally diverse church that does things a little bit differently. I thought it would be really helpful for you to just share your story about how that transition felt, what got you really excited, what's been hard, and all that other stuff. So how's that sound?
Sounds dope to me.
Amen. I'm excited. Amen. So let's start. Let's start at the very beginning. Why Radiant Church for you?
Ooh, so many answers. Radiant Church is just, the people and the culture here are simply amazing. When I first got here, just really not used to having people in my personal space. Amen. And so I'm doing a whole lot better with that. I think it comes along with being able to really trust the good in people, and be okay with knowing that people have good intentions. Some people, not all people, but
everybody.
The people here had really, really good intentions and not really used to being people, to allowing people really to love on me and hug me and know about like what I did this week and know about like all the different things that life has to offer, was different. Mm-hmm. It was different and it was hard to get used to. I struggled for a long time, but I think it's been, most definitely for my benefit.
So that's a great intro to the conversation we're going to have, because I think there might be some Christian leaders out there who have a passion for the cross culture church and want to pursue it, but don't realize how different church is for different people.
Yeah.
Depending on the church background that you have, this may be very different. Something like people hugging each other on Sunday and asking about your day and inviting you over to your house, like depending on the church background you came from, that could be different and maybe even a little strange. So let's start there maybe. It's without mentioning any names, how would you describe the culture of the church that you came from before showing up here?
It was very much so Sunday morning family, mm-hmm. I think the best way to describe it. I don't know. There's not really much to say.
Was it all black, all white? What was the racial demographics?
So mostly black. Yeah. Some white people here and there, but not a lot, and not for a long period of time. Definitely a high turnover rate of it.
Traditional service black. Or more contemporary black? The neo gospel kind of old school white glove ushers.
No. So I would, this was described as his word of faith. So it's definitely maybe a contemporary gospel, a upgraded traditional type of atmosphere. Lots of people that I know, people that I've been there for 16 years before I came to Radiant. Okay. So the people there are like their family. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I realize is there's just more to family. It was more like being around that family reunion and all them cousins and stuff that you really don't want to be around.
Yeah.
But y'all family, so y'all got to love each other.
Amen.
And at Radiant, it's like, our motto is like, we're not like a family. We are a family. And so if I don't show up on a Sunday morning, somebody going to call me. Hey, mm-hmm. what's wrong? Like, what's going on? Like, what you got going on? Somebody might call me and be like, hey, you know, I picked you up in my spirit. And like, I just want to know if everything's all right. Like, mm-hmm. that's completely different than being around relatives you don't really want to be around.
For sure. So you came from kind of a neo-traditional black church. Mm-hmm. You were there for 16 years. Wow. Yep. I don't think I knew that. I think I knew you for all 16 of those years.
Yes.
As well. But so you came from that church background. What was probably, think about the first couple months here, right? Coming from that cultural environment to now this intentionally diverse place that's maybe pursuing things a little bit differently. What was kind of the hardest things in that adjustment period? In those first couple months at Radiant, what was the hardest parts for you?
I would say learning that it's okay to trust people was the biggest thing for me. And I don't struggle with it as much as I used to. But I think that's had to be like my biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because that comes along with people's intentions. Like, if you can't trust people, then your intentions automatically going to be bad. Like, I don't know why you want to take me out for it. Like, why do you want to get coffee with me? And why do you want to? No, I don't want to go shopping. Like, why are we doing these things?
Yeah. Amen. I think that's good because that's not just you, is it? Like, would you say that most black folks who come from predominantly black churches, wouldn't you say that most people would struggle with that?
For sure. For sure. It's a big thing.
Somebody walking up to you and be like, hey, how you doing? You're like smiling in your face. Like so, Roach, I don't know you. Yeah, absolutely. So thinking about Sunday services. Now, I know Sunday services in the beginning were rough now. So don't talk about us on this podcast. We came a long way, y'all. Other than just like growing pains as a church, like what were some of the elements of just Sunday service that may have been new for you, different for you, uncomfortable? Like, talk about Sunday service experience a little bit.
So I think that one of the things that were different is I think when we started our huddles, which was our groups, but for Sunday morning, kind of like Sunday school, but we called them huddles. Just being in small groups with people was uncomfortable. For one, we're sharing. These are all things that go back to trust, mind you.
We're going to talk about that offline.
So, like, I have to, like, you want me to share? Like, you want me to tell you my deepest, darkest secrets? And, you know, you want me to be open with you about my family and my struggles and all these different things. But, like, I don't really know you, so I can't trust you with that information. Like, we're not on a level of relationship or even knowing each other where I can just lean on you and allow you to bear my burdens with me as we're called to, because I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, that's so, and I don't want y'all to miss this if you're listening. Like, this isn't like Courtney's story. Like, this is most of the non-white folks who attend intentionally diverse churches. There's things that are going to be hard that you may not even realize, right? I remember, because we attended the same church for a long time. I was there for about the same time, 15, you know, 20 years or whatever, I was part of this church. And like you said, like, these are family, like folks that I've known. I mean, I grew up in that church. I came to faith at that church. I mean, I preached my first sermon at that church. And yet I could probably count on one hand how many people's houses I've ever been to.
Mm.
And by one hand, I mean two fingers.
For sure.
Because that's just not what we did.
Yeah.
We saw each other on Sunday. We saw each other during conference time. We saw each other during, you know, ministry, and then we went home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see you next week.
Right.
Like, don't even think about what we're doing right now. And so And so, like, people just take this stuff for granted that, oh, man, community groups and, you know, fellowship. And but, like, that's not necessarily the language that is spoken in most kind of traditional, mostly black churches. Is that accurate?
Right. Very true.
Yeah. So how many people's house do you think you've been to out of 16 years? Oof. How many people have invited you over? Not like, hey, I'm going to meet at your house and we're going to go to church together. Like, how many people have said, hey, come over to my house for dinner?
So just to give, like, a better spectrum.
Yeah.
I started when I first got there, I was 12. So, being a teenager, I got invited over to dinner with friends from church.
For sure.
So with those friends, maybe two.
Solid.
Two people. Also, culturally, we don't really, I'm saying we, like, black people don't let our kids go to everybody's house.
Oh, for sure.
And so I can only go to probably about.
So more people probably invited you, but your mom's like, nah, we ain't going over there.
Right. So maybe three at best. Yeah. Three at best consistently. Mm-hmm. In my adulthood, none. I think one.
Yeah.
One. One as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. But so some people are hearing this. I think our white brothers and sisters are hearing this. And it's like, oh my God, like, you didn't have real relationships. You didn't have real friendships. But, like, those are real friends, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, real folks who, if they were going through something, I'm there with you. Like, I got you. It just, dinners and coffees wasn't the currency of connection.
Right.
Necessarily. And I think there might have been something unhealthy about that a little bit. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that's what it was, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think there was a little bit of, like, privacy maybe that was unhealthy. But it just didn't come up. I didn't feel like I was missing anything.
Right.
Right? I didn't feel like I was like, man, I wish they would invite me over. Like, that was just, hey, I'll see y'all next week. I'll right. see you at the next ministry event. Now, mind you, we're at church 7 days a week, so we feel like we're seeing each other all the time. but that just wasn't the currency. All right, so at the beginning, go back to you. So something like the huddles, kind of the Sunday school things we did, that was kind of different. What other parts of Sunday service was just new or foreign or uncomfortable to you?
I would say worship was different.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to talk about worship and not talk about worship.
We're here. We'll talk about it. We'll circle back to it. But go ahead and talk about it.
So for me, I didn't grow up in traditional church ever. Mm-hmm. So the church that I was at before this one, as a young child, it was a multicultural church. Like, we had a healthy amount of white, non-white. Our pastor there was white. We had all different kinds of people there. So I would say, I did not grow up learning hymns unless I went to, like, I don't know, what my granddaddy, AME, my granddaddy go to, you know, my grandfather goes to AME church, and, you know, we might recite the Apostles' Creed, but I didn't go there often enough to know hymns. Mm-hmm. So when I came to Radiant, even as the worship leader, you were like, we're going to learn these hymns. I was like, hymns? I don't know no hymns.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I need the hymns, so, like, you know, holy, holy, holy hymns. Like, uh-huh. No, out the book hymns.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. So for me, that was a lot. I did not know any hymns. The ones that I know now are the ones that I've learned here. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a big culture shock for me. Music, because I sang, before I came here, I sang different genres of music and out and out of state and travel and all of that. The contemporary music side wasn't hard. And we were already doing a lot of heavy gospel. So yeah, I would say hymns.
That part of, yeah. And
worship.
And that's part of the diverse church. Like, we, you know, once again, we'll dive into this in depth when we get to that part of the series about just how we cultivate cross-cultural worship. But part of that is a steady diet of different types of music every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're singing a hymn every Sunday. We're singing a gospel song every Sunday. Where, you know, there's a kind of a formula that we follow. And so, yeah, so that was hard. That was different for you, kind of as a member just coming in. That was a new part for you.
For sure.
Yeah, I would say that. So what made you want to stay? So you came from a church that I would imagine you're very comfortable in. You've been at for almost two decades, meaningful relationships. You're serving there. when it, especially around anything around the culture of the church, what made you want to stay in this place that was kind of different, kind of uncomfortable? Why'd you stick around?
I would say for me, when I came, I was in a really weird place in my life, where Radiant actually became very healing for me. To be around people who would check on me, and the level of care that was given from just the people here, I really, really needed, even though I really, really did not want it. Like, it was really, really healing for me. And it was just at a time where, well, I won't be all in my business. See, we're doing Radiant stuff right now.
I'm not telling you to say anything. You say whatever you want to say.
Yeah. I was going through in between of getting a divorce, and so I was separated, a single mom, just a lot of struggles in transition. I was in a really, really big, huge transition period in my life, and it was just healing to be around people who even the small amount of people who did know about it, who would just come alongside me and walk with me through that journey and check on me and call me and making sure that, you know, I had what I needed for my kids or throughout the week, or to go grocery shopping with me, which is very weird, by the way, let me say that, but it was fun.
It was fun.
And so, yeah, I learned a lot going grocery shopping with somebody. And she did too. She was like, "What? You put heavy cream in your grits?" Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She said, "I'm gonna do that." You should.
Little cross culture, little cross culture competency right there. Look at that. We share in life. Oh, that's yes. Awesome. Fast forwarding, you've been here for 5 years. What impact? This might be a hard question to answer, but what impact has being part of an intentionally diverse church had on your maturity and your growth that you don't think would have happened if you had stayed in kind of a monoculture church? So how has being part of an intensely diverse church over these last 5 years shaped you in a way that you don't think may have happened if you were part of an all-Black church, for example?
The first thing that comes to mind is just, I think, my understanding of the gospel. And what it is for what it is has completely changed. And even my rhythms around just my relationship with a God. So I'm not saying that, yes, I was saved. And yes, I was worshiping because I was worshiping there. But being intentional about my relationship with God, I feel like has changed. And not just worship and singing, but like reading my word and understanding what I'm reading has completely changed. Because now it's just like, I read the Bible and I was just like, because I heard that story before and it didn't go like that. So now I got to go read it for myself. I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to go read it. And not just the passage, like now I got to read the whole like book down so that I have a full concept of not only what's happening in this passage, but like what's happening around the passage, what happened before the passage, like what happens after, what was the effects of, you know, what was going on during that time. And so I think just being able to kind of zoom out and having a broader view of how I believe and why I believe what I believe has completely changed.
Amen. Yeah. That's great. And if you're listening, once again, this isn't we're not trying to advertise or be an infomercial for Radiant. I wanted to peer in from someone who's just came from a monocultural church background and has now really been part of an intentionally diverse church for the last 5 years. I wanted us to hear there's a cost to it as a leader and as a pastor, but there's also a significant shift for people in the pews, for people who are in the seats, who are members who may want to be a part of this, but there are some difficulties. There's some new parts. There's some parts that's a little uncomfortable. But there's also some parts that are really cool, really shaping in our understanding, even as you said, Courtney, about the gospel and how we approach scriptures, because now we're around people who see it differently. And we got to check. Wait, hold up. What did I miss? Right? Because if you see it this way, I never see that before. Now it pushes you back to understand. And so that is a really timely word. So before we wrap up, I got to ask you one more final question. So most of our listeners are Christian leaders, right? They're leading in some way. Some of them are pastors, lead pastors in particular. What would you say as a member of a church who's gone from, you know, an all black church to now being part of a diverse church? What are some things that you would say to Christian leaders in particular as they try to make this true in their own church? So a Christian leader that's listening that says, hey, I want my church to be diverse. What would you want them to know about the members that they have in their church as they pursue this change?
Oh, I would say it needs to be a life that you live. It can't just be something that you want. So if you don't have black friends, it's going to be very, very hard. And then being able to understand that there are cultural differences and not like overlook those things.
Yeah.
So I remember when we had, we did something. What were we doing? We used to like talk about political things, things that were going on in the world. And I remember us having a conversation about just gun laws. Mm-hmm. Being able to talk about that stuff, there's a lot of things that are going on. Like, are you going to be able to stand and across the pulpit say, hey, we realize that this shooting happened and all black people died? Like, can we talk about those things? We realize that there are things that are going on in this world that are race specific. Because you have to be able to not just relate, but as my brother, feel the pain that I bear. And I think it's going to be really, really difficult for you to say you want that, but not put the things around it that show that that's what you want. And that's what you believe. So, yeah.
That's a strong word, Courtney. I love how you said, you know, pastors functioning not just as leaders, but as brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, as your brother, not just as your pastor with this podium, but as your brother, like, I want to walk with you. And knowing that, as you said also, like, things in this world have a racialized components to them.
Right? Yeah.
It hits different people differently. And ignoring that could do more harm than good. So,
yeah.
Amen. That's really good. So, yeah, we've been talking with Courtney, who, yes, she is our worship leader. Yes, we're going to talk about worship, y'all. Y'all stick around. but before we got into that, I just wanted to share as a member, because she's been part of the church from the very beginning, but also came from a very different church culturally. And I know we've had lots of conversations around the adjustments. I mean, if you're wondering why there's not a lot of minorities in your small groups, like, you heard some words today that'll help you. You heard some words today that'll help you understand why, right? Like, I don't want people in my business. I'm not sharing it. I'm not going to people's house. Like, all those other things. But beyond that is just a layer of trust, which, given a little bit of time, given a little consistency, and given some safe spaces, you can overcome. So would you say that you're a more trusting person these days, Courtney?
I would say
that's no. That's a solid no right now.
That I'm open. Yes. So now I understand the need for you to want to have coffee. I understand the need for you to want to have dinner with me. And so I can have dinner with you based on me fulfilling something in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what
no
I
longer suspicious
to.
When somebody's like, hey, come over. Like, what you want from me? That's real life, man. This is why, y'all. We were just pulling back the curtain. These are what people are thinking. And so, man, hopefully this conversation has been helpful for you. Do me a favor, though. If you're listening to this podcast, go to crossculturecollective.com. At the very bottom, you'll see a contact form. And we would love to just put a question in there, put a thought in there, give us some feedback on how we're doing, on ways that we can be more helpful. Once again, we want to be practical. We want to be helpful. We want to be biblical. And if there's any way we can do that in a greater way, we would love to hear from you. So go to crossculturecollective.com. Drop something down in the comment box. We would love to hear from you. Courtney.
Yes.
Any final words?
I was about to say, please don't sing. Please don't sing. Please don't sing.
Don't sing. I'm not going to ask you to sing.
No, I love you guys.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for being part of this conversation. Thank you so much for your honesty. I know it was helpful. It was helpful for me, and we know each other.
Yeah.
But just to hear you explain those things, you did a really good job. So hopefully, if you're listening, this podcast was also helpful for you. Let us know if it wasn't. We'd love to hear from you either way. Courtney, thanks for being part of the Cross Culture Conversation.
No problem.
Hey, thanks for joining our conversation today. This podcast is a resource of the Cross Culture Collective. If you want to learn more about who we are or what we're up to, you can visit us online at crossculturecollective.com or on all the socials at The Cross Culture Collective.